We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jetta Cameron, Jen Ritchie, 94 WIP. Thrilling victory for the 76ers last night. I mean, really thrilling. And I got John last night texting me and now saying today, this is the year. Wow. Well, look, I hope. I don't think they're there yet. They're getting closer. Let's go to the phones, find out what everyone thinks. Exhilarating victory last night. Embiid, I mean, so far and away the best player in Philadelphia sports. It's just not even close. And it's exciting, but I don't think they're there yet. Let's go to the phones. Lenny and Conshohocken kicks us off. How you doing, Len?
Good, man. How you guys doing today?
Doing great, Lenny.
Pumped up and excited, man.
Dude, I'm excited, too. So coming from a jaded Sixers fan, I'm always a little hesitant to jump on because I feel like I get let down year after year. But Joel Embiid last night, he was something to marvel over. Watching Rudy Gobert want no part of him in the post, mostly – It was unbelievable. His eyes lit up like a car in traffic every time Joel lowered his shoulder. And then all of a sudden, they looked for the refs to bail them out time after time. Did you guys notice that?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, another thing that I love about Doc is the Sixers' situational awareness. They know when they have mismatches, and they don't wait to get late into the shot clock to do it. They go right to it.
Yeah.
Obi in overtime is slowly becoming our Brad Lynch. He's slowly becoming that closer that we can go to. And I know that you guys talked about it, but how do you feel about him going forward being our closer?
See, now that's a great way to phrase the topic, because you're right. He's improved dramatically at it. But, Lenny, I got to be real with you. I still worry about him in the playoffs against – and Utah's a great team. There's no question. But do I feel that he's a guy I can count on to close in the playoffs – against great teams? Honestly, I'm not there yet. I'm just not.
It's Tobias and it's Joel. They're the closers. They're the two options that you have.
I mean, Tobias has improved a lot. I mean, he's showing aspects of his game, frankly, that I don't think he showed in the first 2 years here. And I give him great credit for improving. And I think to me, it looks like a mentality shift, more assertiveness, and maybe a little bit more of an all-around game. He's doing a little bit more off the dribble. You know, he does the dribble and the pull-up. But I'm just not ready to say yet, Lenny, that in a league where a wing closer in the playoffs against the best teams is of paramount importance, that he's that guy yet.
I could see that, but I think we're going in the right direction.
So I agree.
I don't want to be an Egadelphian right here because that can come off this way. But we needed this win last night because outside of the Lakers, we really didn't have many quality wins because every good team we played, they were missing their stars, whether it be Butler, whether it be Lowry, whether it be KD or Kyrie. So we really needed a win against a full-strength team to bolster our resume of having a quality win. But what I do think is a big, big, big issue for the Sixers is our bench is full of one-dimensional players. And I'll elaborate for 1 second. Curry, if he can't score, is useless.
Well, he's a starter. Yeah, you're saying two starters there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying who we have outside of our top three.
Yep.
Curry, if he can't score, is useless. Green, if he can't shoot, is useless. If Shake can't shake and bake, see you. Quirk, if he's off, he's done.
Yeah.
If you look at other teams, they have players that if they're not shooting, okay, they can attack the rim. Oh, if they're not shooting, then they can play well and they can facilitate. So I'm looking for someone to add to our bench.
I agree. Lenny, I agree. It's a great call to start the show. I agree. I mean, the thing is, those guys aren't easy to find. I mean, there's not that many great bench players in the NBA, great bench players. And Sixers don't have one.
You act like it's a big mystery, like what we could do to help this team. We know that Kyle Lowry is a target.
I agree.
You add Kyle Lowry, that helps a lot of these shortcomings, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Let's go to Cordell in West Philadelphia. Hey, Cordell.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? That was a great win last night, huh?
Awesome.
Listen, I hear what you guys are saying, and a lot of that stuff I do agree with, but I think the Sixers right now have a team that is full of players that, Joe, you said it earlier, that they're buying into what Doc is selling.
Yep.
All right? These guys are playing for each other. Now, whether Tobias is going to be the closer at the end of the game, whether it's Joel or whoever it is, they find those matchups where they have the advantage, and they take advantage of those matchups. That's a good coach, all right? That's a good team that recognizes that the coach is putting them in the right positions for the right plays so that we can be successful. And so I think we have to, I think we have what we need. I still think we need one pure outside shooter that can help us with on off coming off the bench. I don't know if Korkman's the answer, but
you don't want. No, he's not the answer. I mean, not consistently. He's just limited.
Yeah, and I don't know if Kyle Lowry is the answer either. All right, I think we need a regular outside shooter that's going to be coming off the bench. Not somebody that's going to try to get fouled or get knocked down and stuff like that. I like Kyle Lowry, but I don't think he's our kind of player for this team.
Well, I disagree with you on that.
I think he is.
Yeah, he'd be the perfect fit. I mean, he'd be the perfect fit. Now, the downside is if you got to give him a new contract and all that, and you give up future first-round draft picks, and then you're locked in for a couple more years with an older guy, that's the downside. But there is no downside whatsoever as far as fit, ball handling, shooting, and guts, and experience. And championship pedigree. He brings literally all five of them to the table. Let's go to Joe in Mayfair. Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, big win last night, guys. Absolutely fantastic win. Joel Embiid. What else could you say? It's hard to beat a great team 4-5 in the second half in overtime, but our team did it. I'll tell you that. You know, the morning show, you guys haven't mentioned it, but I'm tired of the Ben Simmons is improving his game. His last four out of his last five games have been below par ever since he got a nod for an All-Star game. This man was 0-for-1 in the second half in overtime with one rebound and one assist, one steal for the entire game and on a block. Why is everybody thinking he is improving? He was 8-for-10 at halftime and in the second half in overtime, 0-for-1, one board, one assist. They beat him 4-5. He did nothing the second half in overtime. He hit under a rock. Their half-court offense, I am shocked. Thank goodness for Embiid and Harris in late in the fourth quarter and in the overtime. Because the only thing Ben Simmons was, he brought the ball up the court, threw it to a person, and went and hide. Every possession, late in the game and overtime. That's all he did. Pass it to Joel, runs to the corner. Pass it to Tobias, run to the corner. They are weak in the half-court game. Weak.
I wouldn't say weak, but I get your point. I mean, listen, Joe, there was someone, Joe, that texted John and I after the game last night. Because we talked a lot about yesterday, Ben and Donovan Mitchell. And the guy wrote, I hope you two learned something about basketball tonight. That nonsense about taking Mitchell over Simmons is indefensible. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what you watch, man. But Donovan Mitchell clearly is a better basketball player than Ben Simmons.
The problem with Ben is that he doesn't want it every night. And when you're talking winning 4 out of 7 games in the playoffs, and I know, John, you're so high and gung-ho right now. When you're averaging 35 to 40 minutes a game and the ball is in your hand more than half the time, if you don't want it every night, if you're not afraid to go to the rack and take your man off the dribble and go against a guy like Gobert in the center, you don't have that killer instinct. His wingspan is too much. His height is too much. His versatility to go either way is too much for him to be this lackadaisical in a big game last night. Kyle Lowry can help.
I don't think I wouldn't even mind
getting a guy like Blake Griffin if he could not cost you everything because he is versatile. You need to help Joel Embiid by the time the playoff comes. And if you want to win 16 games in a month stretch, you need somebody else. Tobias Harris right now, and I want Joe, you to say it, he has been more consistent. He is more deserving of an All-Star game than Ben Simmons. Since he's been picked to the All-Star game, Joe, he's had one decent game against the worst Cavalier team. And by the way, we lost that game. His four out of other five games have been subpar at best.
All right, Joe,
he only plays when he wants to. I'm tired of Ben.
You're talking about scoring. You're talking about scoring more. And when you
everything,
say,
John.
Hold on. Last night, you're saying
down.
He played great defense last night, and he did cause steals. The steals weren't. Like the numbers weren't there. He had one steal for the game, but he caused steals with batting the ball. I mean, he is a tenacious defender.
Yeah,
and you have to give him credit for that. I understand what you're saying. Like, I think it's fishy that since he sort of redeemed himself by going to the bucket and going to the foul line for it felt like 4 or 5 games there. When the All-Star game was in question, that does seem like it's sloughed off a little bit. And yeah, it seems wrong that he turns it on and turns it off, offensively speaking. But we don't know everything that goes into it. We don't know that the plan wasn't such that wasn't part of the, you know, what Doc was encouraging them to do last night.
Well, he's got
to. We know that Joel is the focus.
Yeah.
And everyone else falls in and fits however they fit game to game as it pertains to the unique problem set that team presents.
But, I mean, it is notable. I tend to think it's less about that and more just that Ben has
– 2 free throws is pretty weak.
Yeah. I mean, and again, and if you remember what I was saying like 2 or 3 weeks ago when Ben was you know, suddenly shooting a ton and scoring and all that was – it looks great when he can beat his guy off the dribble. When he can't, then what? You know, when he can't beat the guy off the dribble as much, then what? And, I mean, I have no doubt that if Ben could have beaten his guy, whichever guy was on him last night, off the dribble more, he would have. He obviously couldn't enough. Mm-hmm. So then I know what the then what is. The then what is he just passes the ball. That's then what. And that's not good enough. And that's part of why, John, as much as I want to say, dude, I am so with you. This is the year for the Sixers. In June, you know, we're going to have a parade. I can't say that yet because, in part, I don't think Ben is where he needs to be yet when they play the Lakers. And let's remember, before they even play the Lakers, I mean, I want everyone to understand the challenge of James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant is outrageous. It's outrageous. And if Joel can pull it off, it'll be one of the great achievements in the history of Philadelphia sports. I mean, it really will be beyond belief if he can pull it off. I just don't think he will be able to do that without a substantial improvement from Ben to be more assertive, more aggressively. I don't. 215-592-9499.
But we've seen Ben be more assertive, right?
Well,
yes. Last night we would have liked to have seen more aggressiveness to the hoop, more shots, but they won the game.
Yeah, no, listen,
and he played good defense.
Yeah.
We did what we needed to win. That looked ugly for most of the game. I mean, most of the game, it felt like it was going to end up a blowout. But they were hanging in. They struck when the time was right. And, you know, a fortunate shot got us to overtime. Yeah. But then we capitalized on that scenario. This team just seems to have what it takes to put it all together at the right time. That's the mark of greatness.
Well, we'll see if people agree with John that Embiid's the best player in the league and that this is the year. 215-592-9494. We also have a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card to give away today. You can head to Rita's for all your favorite delicious frozen treats. And curious today as we look to give away that Rita's Water Ice gift card for the best song from the 1980s. John, it was about 2 days ago. I'm in my car and I'm listening and Cyndi Lauper comes on and she's speaking to me. Because she was talking about all through the night. And I just thought, you know what? What a great song. Now, is it the best song in the 80s?
No, it's not.
No, of course it's not the best song, but it's a great one.
Cyndi Lauper?
Jen, you know the song.
The
you know, right?
I don't know. I mean, I know Time After Time.
Yeah,
All Through the Night's better.
I know Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
All Through the Night's better. I mean, you're right. Those are probably more popular. All Through the Night was a better song. Better song. And it is one of the great songs of the 80s, but I don't know if I trust
Joe is such a lopperhead.
Yeah, nor I.
Yeah. Bop, you bop, we all bop. You know, remember that one? Remember that one? Cyndi Lauper? Come on now. All right, Richie, Seltzer, everyone, 215-592-9494. Best song in the 80s.
What was that one? He bop, she bop, a wee bop. Yeah, that was a good one.
You don't want to know what it's about.
I bop. Yeah, I think I do.
All right, Richie, give me, and I want everyone, 215-592-9494. Best song in the 1980s. When answered, the person's going to get that Rita's Water Ice gift card. Richie, best song 80s, what is it?
Man, this is so my wheelhouse. I spent so much time watching MTV when I wasn't outside until the streetlights came on. But
you going top of the line here, or are you going to tone it down a little bit? I'm just curious. Where are we going here?
I think I'm going.
You're going top of the line.
I got to go top of the line. I mean, this.
He's being that guy, Seltzer. He's being that guy today.
I think it's okay.
I think this would be almost impossible to vote against. So I'm going to take it. You're featuring Eddie Van Halen on guitar. Michael Jackson was the biggest star in the world at the time, Beat It, was everyone's favorite song. There's no doubt in my mind that was the song everyone yearned to hear on the radio, and it came on the radio an awful lot. It was awesome. Awesome video, too. Beat It was where it was at.
All right, Seltzer, when you think great song of the 80s, I don't know if you go top of the line or not, what do you got?
I'm giving some love. I feel like we don't give enough love to this guy when we have best song or these types of side topics. 1980, redemption song, Bob Marley was the man.
All right, there you go. Lot of ways to go here. Now, let me tell you this. I'm going to go not top of the line because I'm going to respect the audience and give the audience chances to take, you know, some of the top five. I'm not like Richie here grabbing a great one right out of the gate. But this is a good one. Also gives me a chance to talk about the movie Dirty Dancing because She's Like the Wind. By Patrick Swayze.
No.
Now not what you'd call a classic 80s song. Again, I'm respecting the audience, John. I'm letting everyone have an opportunity. I mean, I could have just said, well, I won't say it. I almost. All right, let's go to the phones. Where do you stand on the 76ers? Is this the year of the greatness of Embiid and great 80s songs? We talked to Enzo right now in Westchester. What's up, Enzo?
John, Joe, how you doing?
Hi, Enzo.
Joe, I don't get you, brother. What are you doing with the Sixers? Looking for 2 weak spots right now after that huge win last night?
No, I'm psyched as all heck. I'm just telling you, I got Richie telling me they're the best team in the NBA, you know, or that this is the year, and I don't think they're there yet.
Who's there yet? To you, Brooklyn. I heard that.
Two teams. LA Lakers, Brooklyn Nets. One of them's going to win the NBA championship. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, the NBA championship is going to be won by either the Brooklyn Nets or the Los Angeles Lakers. Book it.
Dude, I'm not even going to argue with you because that's just the weasel in you, brother. I can't argue with you. I can't. I just can't. I can't go on that. Cindy Lauper.
Well, do you think yeah. Do you think I'm wrong? Enzo, listen, my man, if you think I'm wrong and you think the Sixers are going to beat them both, cool. Tell me it. I just don't agree with you on that.
We don't agree, dude. They're going to win. They're going to beat them. This is their year, dude. The chemistry of this team, I haven't felt this kind of chemistry since Larry and Allen, literally. Doc and Joel, the team has an awesome chemistry because of Doc. Doc's a huge part of this. Like, it's just – Doc is a huge part of this. And that's the edge for us, in my opinion, for the Lakers and the Nets.
Well, I mean, he helps. There's no doubt. I mean, I get it. Enzo, give me a great song from the 1980s.
Well, what are we doing here? Because there's a haymaker that everybody knows. Are we staying away from it?
I have no idea. I don't know which one you're thinking.
Oh, come on. Dude. All right, whatever. Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
All right. I mean, what am I, a mind reader? What is this?
That's a great song.
Of course it is. But I don't know that it's like.
Sounds like he's a bigger Journey fan than I am.
Well, it is one of the great songs of the 80s.
Sure, yeah. But there's so many that are just staples.
I mean, he's acting like I'm supposed to know that that's definitively like the one, and I'm supposed to read his mind. Like, what are we doing here?
I actually assumed he was talking about another one, so how about that?
Yeah. I did too, by the way, for what it's worth. But, I don't know which one he's thinking. All right, let's talk to Lewis in Philly. What's up, Lewis?
Oh, let me take you off speaker.
You got it, man.
Do it.
Sorry, I'm making deliveries, so I'm working. So I listen to you guys every day. It's cool. I love the Sixers win. It was amazing. It showed a lot of character, and, you know, it showed how the team is starting to mesh a little better.
Yep,
yeah.
John, I love you. Usually I agree with you, but today I got to agree a little more with Joe.
Oh, no, you're a naysayer?
No. Just for the simple fact, yes, we are excited for the team, but – we have a one punch. We don't have a 1-2 punch because if Ben Simmons could elevate his game where he could have a little bit above average mid-range shot, that guy could be averaging maybe 20 points a game, 22. A little more aggressiveness to his game because before the All-Star game happened and before he got picked, he was averaging like 18, almost 20 points a game. That's what pushed him to get the All-Star, you know, a little more favorable, whatever. Mm-hmm. However you want to, you know, depending on who you discuss with. But then after that, it seemed like he has tailed off a little more. We all know that he's a great defender, but the problem here is we need a little bit more. He has to step up with the offensive game.
Yep.
That's what we need to get that 1-2 punch. And then that'll allow Harris to also continue to do what he's doing, and that's why you have
let me say this about Tobias Harris. I think he's doing as good as he can do.
Yeah.
I really mean that. I mean, I don't think there's another level to his game, and I give him – look – I still think he's overpaid, but he's playing better than he did last year, and I respect that.
Yeah, no, he's maxing out his potential right now.
Yes.
The thing that's crazy is Ben's not.
Correct.
Joel's not.
No, Joel is.
Hold on. No, what about the fact that Joel...
You can't tell me he can do more, John.
Well, I think with him, yes, he's the best player in basketball, but I don't think we've seen his best basketball. The guy continues to evolve before our very eyes. Think about how long he's been playing compared to everyone else he's playing against. The guy picked up a basketball for the first time when he was 15 years old.
Yeah. All right, so if you're
saying that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, more experience, I guess he could, you know, his improvement with double team passing. Yeah, I guess you could have some of that kind of stuff.
You see that he puts the time in. Yeah. You see him evolve year after year. When he comes back, he's got more to his game. And with Doc helping him develop him, I think we're not done watching him improve.
All right, Lewis, give me a great song from the 1980s.
I will have to say somebody said something about Michael. Michael had a big year that year in the 80s because his album was amazing. So I have to say another Michael, which will be the Thriller.
Thriller. You got it,
that's
Lewis.
The one I thought the last caller
And I think it's overrated.
The greatest video of the 80s.
Maybe not the best song. I agree.
I think there's another one off that album that is, so different.
Yep. I've always thought, though, Thriller is very overrated.
I'm not a fan of the song.
Let me put it this way.
I returned the record because of that song.
Wow.
I actually rode my bike back to Kmart and returned it.
Now, how old are you? Like 9?
I don't know. It was like 1983, so I was 8. Eight or nine, yeah.
And you're like, Mr. Store guy, this is unacceptable to me. I'm John Rich.
I had bought it with pennies. I would wrap pennies, you know, so you'd have 50 pennies in each paper container. And I put them in a shoebox, and I rode to Kmart with that under my arm. And I bought Thriller. I took it home, put it on the record player. And I had never heard Thriller to that point.
Yep.
I'd only heard... You know, the first two songs that were the singles that he put out. Thriller came on, and I was terrified. Like, it was scary. I was a little kid, and it really, the sound system with the phonograph that we had, it just sounded so big and so real and so frightening.
All right, so a lot of things in here, one of which is...
I was afraid Thriller.
If I... made a comment about being terrified.
Remember,
scared.
I was
a child.
Petrified. I was a child. A small child. I was in third grade.
215-592-9494. Coming up.
I returned it and got Men at Work, business as usual.
Oh, boy. Coming up, we know the Eagles are going to restructure contracts. And Derek Gunn says one is in the works. Which Eagles player restructured contract? Sounds like he'd be here for some years moving forward. Smart. Or unsmart, unwise, unsmart? How do you say it? Smart or not good? We'll talk about it next. Show to Cameron, John Ritchie. The Eagles got some decisions to make. We'll talk about it on 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.